Welcome to EY Insights. Hi, this is Paul W. Smith. We're going to be talking with Randy Miller, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Leader, joined by Reagan Grant, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Marketing Leader. Cheryl Connolly's coming by, futurist for Ford Motor Company, expanding on the topic of connectivity and Ford's plans for the future and some of our future plans. The NADA chairman and dealer Forrest McConnell will join us as well. He's coming to us from the family business, McConnell Honda and Acura, in Montgomery, Alabama. And finally, George Lenio is here, EY's Detroit office managing partner, also serving as the global coordinating service partner for several strategic accounts in the region. George has 19 years of professional experience serving clients primarily in the automotive sector. It's EY Insights, and it's right now on WJR. Welcome in to EY Insights. Paul W. here as we broadcast from the press preview days at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. What a pleasure it is to say hi to Randy Miller, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Leader based in Detroit. Randy is responsible for managing the firm's Global Automotive and Transportation Center and developing the firm's sector strategy and initiatives worldwide. Randy, nice to see you again.
Great to be here, Paul W.
We also have Reagan Grant, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Marketing Leader, also based in Detroit. Reagan is responsible for developing EY's marketing, branding, public relations, and communication strategies for EY's automotive sector globally. Reagan, nice to see you again.
Thanks for having us.
It's always great to spend time with you guys at that fabulous Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. That's a wonderful thing that your company sponsors year in and year out. So I just wanted to salute you for that. Tell me about the automotive transportation practice at EY.
Well, Paul W., it's a big business for us, roughly about $1.5 billion in revenue, and we're committed to aligning around the world to help our clients focus on fixing their highest priority business imperatives. And we're spending a lot of time from a sector perspective around connected vehicle, information security, mobility, and that whole transformation. We're also spending a lot of time helping our clients deal with the changing retail dynamics and what's going on in that space. And we're also very much focused on also helping them improve their business performance and pull cost out, which has been something that obviously is not new, but one that's very, very important across the sector.
And Reagan, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, when we say automotive and transportation, we cover a range of subsectors across both sectors. We focus on commercial vehicle companies, of course, the light vehicle manufacturers, the component suppliers, retails and dealers, and even airlines and rails. We have a network of about 13,000 professionals across the globe that serve automotive and transportation clients.
Wow, that's big. That is an important sector for the company. No question about it. Since we're sitting here at this moment for this North American International Auto Show, I'd like from both of you some observations from the show. Let's start with you, Randy.
Well, I think we're headed for another great show here in Detroit. There's over 40 global premieres this year, which I think is up over last year. And certainly what we're seeing is some great examples of luxury performance segment being alive and well. Gas prices, I think, obviously are fueling some very interesting things. And we're seeing some great CUV segment examples that are driving, I think, some great new launches this week.
Certainly affecting the spirit of the people as they go from the press days to the industry preview days to now the public days. The spirit in the air is not one of green and saving because we can't afford the fuel. It's really about fun and performance, or so it would seem. Some of your observations, Reagan.
Yeah, well, I think you definitely see an uptick in luxury vehicles. Of course, pickup trucks are huge this year. However, I think despite the fact that gas prices are declining, you still see automakers delivering a portfolio of different powertrain vehicles, hybrids, diesel, Given the fuel regulations, I don't think that's going to change. I think all automakers are still going to be focused on making sure they have a portfolio of vehicles that cover different powertrains.
I think you're absolutely right, Reagan. That's a good observation. Same observation I had with talking with the various guys. Bob Carter from Toyota, for example, they're full steam ahead on their fuel cell technology. They're not going, oh, gee whiz, gas prices are low, we're not going to do that anymore. They really have a tremendous amount of faith and belief in the future and the future of fuel cell technology. It's been interesting to watch. Outlook for the North American auto industry in 2015. We just finished a fabulous 2014. What do you think?
Well, obviously, I think it building on that great momentum, I think this year is going to be even better. We're forecasting could be 17 million units, we think, this year in the U.S. It's going to be very, very strong, and we think the momentum and the great launches that we've just talked about and the expansion around the powertrain technology, I think, is going to drive a really, really good year. We see some perhaps challenge around the world a bit in terms of some volatility that we'll talk about here in a little bit, but very optimistic about what we're going to see this coming year.
Good observations, Randy. Anything to add to that, Reagan?
Well, I just think that even though sales are reaching a peak, growth is expected for 2015 to be a little bit minimal and might plateau. But I still think reaching that 17 million mark is likely, first time since about 2000, I believe.
That's a big deal, without any question, and especially since the companies have all become far leaner than they once were. They set themselves up for their margins to be pretty spectacular. Now, you, your team at least, attended the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and obviously since back in the beginning when Alan Mulally was first asked to be a speaker there, and Ford had such a big presence, which continues, automotive has a major presence. What are some of your observations, and how did the Consumer Electronics Show stack up?
Well, I think the interesting aspect is, I think this show is all about the product. I think the CES show is really all about the technology. And we saw a tremendous amount of focus around connectivity and the issues related to that issue. Autonomous vehicle, future of mobility seemed to be the major themes out at the CES, and how that was going to really transform the business. Here, again, we're seeing a lot of focus on the product and a lot of focus on the excitement of the product. I think there it's really all about the technology and how that's shaping the experience.
Reagan, how can people get more information? Where can they go to learn more about EY's automotive practice and additional industry insights?
We have a plethora of information on our website. It's ey.com/automotive. We also encourage you to follow us on Twitter, EY Automotive, and of course LinkedIn, Automotive Insights from EY. We have a range of different thought leadership materials and solutions specific to automotive and transportation.
Reagan Grant, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Marketing Leader, and Randy Miller, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Leader as well. Nice to have you both with us.
Thank you, Paul W.
As we continue, EY Insights on WJR. As we continue, EY Insights. Happy to keep Randy Miller here with us and to bring into the conversation Cheryl Connolly, a futurist for Ford. In fact, Cheryl is the Global Consumer Trends and Future Manager for Ford Motor Company, a role she's held since 2004. Serving as Ford's corporate futurist, we should say that Cheryl is responsible for identifying global consumer trends that feed into functions across the entire company. That would include design, product development, corporate strategy. And prior to joining the trends team, Cheryl spent 8 years of her 18-year career with Ford in a variety of field positions for Ford Division, including wholesaling product to more than 140 dealers and assisting in the execution of new franchising agreements before working for Ford. She practiced law. A lawyer who put her law degree to good use. I can say that because I come from a family of lawyers.
I am so flattered by that intro. I love the way you read it. I'm going to take you on the road with me.
I'd be more than happy to. I work cheap. You, from what you've done to where you are today, is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I do feel like the most luckiest person in all of Ford Motor Company.
I mean, the Ford futurist. There's a lot riding on that. And what will the future U.S. customer buy or want? That's something you have to think about and know, and then they depend on you to come up with that. How are you enabling innovation at Ford in an increasingly connected world?
So, you know, I look outside the automotive industry. My job is actually never to look at cars, and I spend my time focusing on social, technological, economic, environmental, and political forces, because we'll never be able to predict the future, but we're confident that those are the five arenas that will shape consumer values, their attitudes, and their behaviors. You know, and of course, it takes us 3 years to bring a vehicle to market. So every day, the designers, the engineers have this challenge of like, what can I do to make your life easier 3 years from now? And the answer lies in innovation.
So many things happen so quickly. Nobody could have guessed 3 years ago what was going to happen with fuel prices. Mm-hmm. They just wouldn't have. They were guessing the other direction, which is why the direction of the automobile industry went a certain way. Now we've got that curveball that's going on right now. So trying to figure out what consumers are going to want in the future is a very big deal. And a little mistake could be huge. Well, I don't mean to put pressure on you.
No pressure taken. You know, the work that I do, ironically being called a corporate futurist, is to remind everyone in the organization that no one can predict the future. And so if we are planning for a future of high oil prices, that means we also have to plan for a future of low oil prices. And the goal is to explore the bookends of possibility so that our strategy becomes more robust.
You know, Cheryl Connolly, a futurist for Ford, here's another one I don't think anyone could have guessed. And coming from my generation, I can't believe that kids today are not as interested in rushing out and getting their driver's license so they can drive. I couldn't wait when I was a kid. I couldn't wait. And now kids are going, oh, well, I will. I think I'll get my license eventually. What is this next generation of drivers delaying the purchase of future vehicles, and how do you deal with that?
So I'm presuming that you're a baby boomer. And so as a baby boomer, you created the car culture. When you got that first car, it was your gateway purchase into adulthood, and it came with all of the romantic imagery of freedom and independence. Today, though, if you were to ask our children, they would tell you that their gateway purchase into adulthood is their cell phone, and that is the ultimate status symbol for them.
That's
and so not
the
surprisingly, that the car just doesn't hold that same aspirational component. But the car can still be quite relevant to them, particularly if it can enable their lifestyle. So connectivity becomes increasingly important, and why Ford is focusing so much on innovation. And while indeed millennials are not getting their license to the same level as previous generations, when they do buy cars, they buy Fords.
Well, that's a nice little factoid. That turned out to be handy, didn't it?
It did.
Randy, what do you see in terms of, is there a need to, in your opinion at EY, to reinvent the customer experience?
Well, I think what great perspectives, from Cheryl, and I love the role and the impact that's having on your strategy. And I think you're exactly right. One example that jumps out at me from a millennial perspective is they truly loved vehicles, love to use vehicles, don't necessarily like to buy vehicles. And getting them to convert to do that, I think, is one of the big challenges that the sector faces in the short term and in the long term. And so that, to me, translates a bit into part of the innovation challenge, which is truly getting closer to the customer throughout the life cycle of that experience, trying to drive some loyalty, and also trying to figure out ways to take advantage of that customer experience and really find new sources of revenue and take advantage of trying to get that full wallet share from the consumer. So.
And I think this is why you hear Ford, you know, our leaders talking about us as not so much as a manufacturer, but enabler mobility. We're a mobility company. We just published our 2015 collection of trends, and one of the trends in here is called No Strings Attached, and it talks about kind of that concept of the sharing economy or collaborative consumption, which I think mistakenly is put forth as this altruistic motive. But, you know, why buy the cow when you can rent it, borrow, lease it? You know, why take up your capital reserves and free up your space, simplify and streamline things? And we see this happening in so many categories that, of course, it'll touch automotive.
Yeah, by the way, this is a fabulous book. Is there a way, Cheryl, that anybody can get it or go online to see it, or is that asking too much?
I'm so glad you asked, Paul. We are happy to share our publication. This is the third year in a row that we've published it, and all you simply need to do is just Google it. Google Ford Trend Book, and 2013, 2014, and 2015 editions are all available online through a PDF.
Ford Trend Book. If you Google that, you're going to find what we're talking about, and it's, trust me when I tell you, it's worth finding. You've done a great job on this information. And with that thought in mind, we continue with our conversation, too. We focus on collaboration, more partnerships being formed, helping manufacturers cut down the time it takes to develop connectivity inside the vehicle. There's all of that going on. And when we go back to, I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of these kids who are not rushing out. They want to use the vehicles. They don't want to necessarily buy them or lease them. Do these kids have loyalty to the car companies that their parents are interested in? Or do they react like sometimes kids react to things if they especially don't want it if their parents have it? How's this working out in your research?
So I can say from my own personal experience, when I was a young person and my dad would say, go right, and then I went left. He said, you know, wear black. I wore white. You know, you did the opposite of what your parents advised. But today, that paradigm between parent and child has really fundamentally changed, particularly because of the boomer generation. They are much more likely to collaborate with their children and make decisions jointly. So there's this mutual respect. And I think a huge driver of that, of course, is innovation, because our children now have become the chief technology officers of the household. We turn to them to fix our phones, to navigate our computers, to decide what tablet we should buy. And so when we start looking to them for guidance, you find the opportunities for collaboration and a shared point of view becoming increasingly important.
And where does EY come in with this, on this thought?
Well, I think it's very interesting expanding on that a little bit. We're seeing that consumers are now spending more time on their smartphones than watching television. You can make the debate whether that's good or bad, but I think back to the question, I think spending the time from a technology perspective on those devices and getting comfortable with that whole experience is really going to drive some of those consumer decisions that we talked about. And I think some of those individuals are going to be buying based on how they connect into the vehicles, how that fits with their overall technology experience. And that's what's going to be the driver versus kind of the old days of, you know, what your parents used to drive or used to suggest.
And don't you at EY have a series of sector-specific solutions and your thought leadership focused on the telematics and connected car ecosystem and the impact of digital and all those things that these kids are right on top of that the rest of us may not be?
We sure do, Paul W., and thank you for mentioning that. We have a great series on all of those topics, really tailored for the automotive and transportation industry. And it talks about those trends, and it talks about what our clients can do to leverage and take advantage of those trends.
In what you do, Cheryl Connolly, as a futurist for Ford Motor Company, tell me what's the most fascinating thing you found or something that you have seen in the future that you think would blow us away or surprise us the most. I know that's a tough one. I understand.
That's a tall order.
I know.
So I am going to defer to our trend book. So the world has spent a great deal of time talking about millennials, and while they are still relevant, just as baby boomers are, Ford has set their sights on what we're calling Generation Z, those people that are 21 and younger. And
which generation is that?
Generation Z, like Zed or Zebra.
Like ZF.
So
Z.
What we're seeing is that despite their youth, their lack of education, financial resources, or even on-the-job experience, they believe good things come to those who act now. In fact, here at NIAS, just yesterday, we featured a 12-year-old entrepreneur. His name is Davis Barrow, and he is on his fourth company. And I'm not talking about, like, mowing lawns. He's developing a watch that he will put on Kickstarter in a couple months, and he actually has a team of adults that he's hired in India. And, you know, there's nothing precocious about this young man. He's so grounded, and he says that his experience is not unlike that of his classmates, that he sees this idea about get in, try young, there's no reason to wait.
You got to get a hold of this book, Ford Trends. Just Google it, Ford Trends.
Ford Trend Book.
Ford Trend Book. And you've got it for the last 2 or 3 years here. Cheryl Connolly, futurist for Ford. Here we are. Changing your last name when you get married is old-fashioned. 40% of U.S. adults under age 35 agree. Oh, there's a lot to learn here. Some of it I just don't want to learn. Cheryl, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And Randy Miller, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Leader. Always a pleasure, Randy.
Thank you, Paul W.
As we continue on WJR and EY Insights. Forrest McConnell is the 2014 NADA chairman. happens to be president of McConnell Honda Acura in Montgomery, Alabama. Forrest is a third-generation new car dealer, attorney, representing Alabama's franchised auto dealers on NADA's board of directors. The family started out in the business as Hupmobile and Scripps Booth dealers in 1919. And through the years, they have owned and operated multiple dealer franchises. As NADA chairman, McConnell is currently promoting the consumer and manufacturer benefits of the franchise dealer network and leading NADA's efforts through intense regulatory challenges facing dealers on a regular basis, such as efforts by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to eliminate an auto dealer's flexibility to discount interest rates on consumer auto loans at dealerships. Forrest McConnell, we welcome you to this very special edition of EY Insights. And congratulations, by the way. First of all, you represent all the dealers, and so many of them have a family history like yours, and meaning it's a family business having an auto dealership.
No, you're right. The automobile business is one of the few businesses that families have had for many years, kind of like the Ford family in Detroit.
Right.
It's passed down, and it's a tremendous business, but the main aspect is to concentrate and make sure that you keep customers happy, and that's how you stay in business for a long time.
The other congratulations at the North American International Auto Show 2015 edition, of course, the Detroit North American International Auto Show, your Honda Acura had some wonderful accolades and a wonderful reveal for Acura.
They did. Absolutely. The Acura NSX, you know, to all the people that are listening here, I would encourage them to come to the auto show. This is incredibly an exciting event. The Acura NSX, a lot of high tech, over 550 horsepower. It's a mid-engine hybrid, V6 turbocharged, twin turbocharged, two electric motors in the front wheels and one on the back, and it is screamingly fast and absolutely stunningly beautiful.
It is.
You've got to see it.
It is, at least certainly from the looks aspect, you're absolutely right. I haven't had the pleasure and privilege of knowing all the background on it, but it sounds really spectacular.
Paul, you look great in one.
Oh, I'm sure I would. I'm going to have to be honest with you now here, though. Forrest, I've talked about this. I want a fun car before I get too old to drive it. I'm afraid, though, I'd drive up in that fun car, and then, you know, I'd have to tell everybody, look over there, there's a man flying, because I'm probably going to need help to get out of the damn thing. I'm just saying. That's the only issue I worry about. You asked, I've told you. Fact of the matter is, Forrest, we're happily joined by Reagan Grant, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Marketing Leader, too. And the relationship here with Forrest, representing the NADA and those individual dealers, and all of us talking about, when we're surrounded at the auto show, the OEMs, the suppliers, and all of that, really has to be, as best we can, the same as a family dealership. It's a family industry. You see all that. You follow all of that. And we just heard about the consumer trends and the future of the automotive industry. What about the dealer perspective for you? What would you say, Forrest?
Well, I think it's an exciting time for customers. If you're a customer right now and you're thinking about buying a car, this is the time for several reasons. One is the value for the money, all the new technology that's in the cars, interest rates are low, tons of consumer choice, great gas mileage, and the cars last. The average car on the road now is 11 years old. It's a great time. It makes perfect sense, and they will get a tremendous value for the money.
Well, they're the best cars made, period. They're the best. They've never been better than the way
Absolutely.
They're being built right now. Interest rates are rarely this low. So, and everybody's starting to feel pretty good about the economy and about themselves. And so you're right. This is maybe the best time ever to buy, which is why we had such, I will go to your expertise on this, Reagan, why we had such good numbers in 2014 and why you are predicting at EY even better numbers for 2015.
Yes, we definitely see momentum moving forward. And, you know, we are forgetting the days of the recession back in 2006. You look on the show floor here, you really see that we are back in full stride. And we are predicting for 2015 to reach that 17 million mark.
Forrest, we talked earlier about the changing consumer trends, the Z generation and the this and the that and how they're looking at things. But it's tough to be a dealer kind of at the mercy of your OEM and what they're sending you, what they're producing, what they're deciding. So What do you do with your dealers to make sure they have the right vehicles stocked? Are they prepared for services, technology, and training with all of these changing consumer trends? How do you guys stay on top of that?
Well, dealers do stay on top of it very well, but part of it is the manufacturer, the customer is ultimately the person that decides what they're going to build and what they're going to buy. Just because you build it doesn't mean the customer like it. Our job is to show customers their options. But right now, as you said, these cars are phenomenal out here in every manufacturer. Mm-hmm. For example, all the telematics that's on there, you can get real-time traffic, you can get real-time weather, you can get, there are absolutely many things coming. For example, they can show you where a parking space is available. That comes in handy. All the driving assist tools that are there. There are a lot of reasons that you want to buy a car now because you could not get these in the past. Adaptive cruise control. So imagine this, you're going down the road, so many times everybody that has a wreck says, hey, I didn't see them. Well, think about it now. You have blind spot monitors. For example, the Honda Accord has a camera in the passenger mirror. It shows two lanes to the right of you. You don't have to turn around and look. Every wow. car has a backup camera.
Beautiful.
So those are the things that are a lot safer for customers. Dealers are training their salespeople to be very up to date on all that. But there's a lot to see on the showroom. It's very exciting.
What are you expecting from the OEMs?
Well, I think future autonomous car, you know, driving, mm-hmm. and I think that'll mm-hmm. come in time. There will be a driver assist. But just imagine the day that you can put your child in a car and send it off to school, and you stay at home or you go to work. Or you have parents that maybe they're a little bit older, have a little bit of parents, fortunately still can drive, but to get to the point where they can't drive, that they actually can go and sit in the car, and that car will drive them to the doctor's office, and it'll be there when they get out and drive them home.
How far out do you think that really is, Forrest?
You talk to different people, you'll get different numbers. It was
right.
interesting, the futurist is there. I was hoping she would stay around. I could ask her who was going to the Super Bowl. But I would think probably a decade, but it will come in stages. But so much of it will help the mistakes that we just human make in cars. Lane keep, for example, it'll keep you in your lane. It will warn you if you're about to crash. It will communicate between two cars. So, but think about how that changes the world and what it does for people that maybe had disabilities and how they it will open the world up to them. It's very exciting.
Yes, Reagan.
And I think the technology is there. We see all the automakers and suppliers putting the technology out. It's a matter now of getting the commercially viable business models to align with that and get the regulatory environment aligned with getting these cars on the road.
Which is no small order, but is what is in order now. And Forrest McConnell, we wish you well. NADA Chairman, President McConnell Honda Acura, congratulations on having...
Thank you. It's a pleasure to represent the 17,800 dealerships in the United States that compete for the customer's business, and we're there to take care of the customer.
Beautiful. And Reagan Grant of EY, EY's Global Automotive and Transportation Marketing Leader. Thank you again for your expertise as we continue on EY Insights on WJR. Finally, the guy in charge joins us on EY Insights. George Lenio is EY's Detroit Office Managing Partner, also serving as the Global Coordinating Service Partner for several strategic accounts in the region. Nearly 20 years of professional experience serving clients, primarily in the automotive sector. Nice to see you, George. Nice to see you again.
Thanks, Paul. Certainly appreciate it.
Can you share a few details about Ernst & Young's Detroit office?
Certainly. You know, Paul, the Detroit office for Ernst & Young has been in the Detroit community for over 100 years, something we're very proud of. We've got over 550 employees. That's 65 different executives, partners, and principals. We serve in the Detroit marketplace over 80% of the Fortune 1000 and over 70% of the Russell 3000, which is a statistic we're pretty proud of here, as well as we serve the majority of what you see here on the shop floor at the automotive show. You know, we're either providing services, audit, tax, advisory, or transaction advisory to the majority of the automotive or suppliers, tier one, tier two, around the world and around this country.
Well, you guys do a spectacular job. And as I mentioned earlier to the folks, what you do just with your EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards program nationwide is rather incredible and most appreciated.
Now, thank you very much, and thank you and WJR. Paul, you've been involved for several years, and as you know, we're talking a lot about innovation today, and we view innovation as the backbone to a strong economy, specifically here in Detroit and the state of Michigan.
It's critical to Detroit.
Critical to Detroit. When you look at innovation and people wonder, you know, how do you innovate? You know, I think that's cultivated through entrepreneurship. You know, we really need to figure out how we're going to support the men and women that are out there taking the chances, right? Breaking the rules a little bit, creating the disruptive technologies that are not only going to create, you know, a different marketplace and new products, but, you know, create new industries for the city of Detroit and hopefully the state of Michigan.
You do that on a regular basis. Certainly we talked about the Entrepreneur of the Year's awards, but the innovative thinking, your firm is doing many things to support the betterment of Detroit in entrepreneurship beyond what we've talked about. Because we've heard a lot of people talk about innovation in the auto industry, specifically with the auto show and everything leading up to it and from this day forward. But right here in Detroit, innovation is at the heart of our beginnings when you consider Henry Ford, for example. That's just one example I throw out there. But what else is EY involved with in support of the betterment of Detroit in entrepreneurship and innovation?
Now, that's a great question. You know, one of the things that I'm extremely proud of, when you look at our office, we have over 40 employees that sit on non-for-profit boards. And I think that's something that...
That's an incredible commitment.
Incredible commitment. You know, and we're not just doing it to write a check, Paul W. You know, we are providing, you know, obviously funds, because those funds are important to those organizations, but we're giving our resources and our people. We like to call it skills-based volunteering. It's the way in which, you know, we go out, we provide the skill sets, whether that's tax, whether that's program or project management. We go out and we train these individuals. And we do that, one, to better our employees, right? Because they're going to hone those skills for our future clients. But when you really look at how that can touch a community, you're taking these folks that have great skill sets, you're passing it on to that organization and who they help, and hopefully bettering those individuals, ultimately to add to the youth here in Detroit.
And Randy Miller, you see that. You're a part of that with your colleagues at EY.
Yeah, for sure, Paul. I think part of our commitment is that in the automotive and transportation sector, although we've got 13,000 people, it's $1.5 billion business, we're committed to this city, and we have our Global Automotive Center headquartered here. That's a reflection of the focus of this sector being here, but also a commitment to this city, the history that it has, and the impact that it has on the business overall.
And George Lenio, EY's Detroit Office Managing Partner, there are people listening right now that have a commitment to this city. There are people in the business community. They're looking to you maybe right now for a little guidance in what they can do to maximize the city's growth potential and sustain the momentum and grow themselves, obviously. What would you suggest?
You know, I think when we look at innovation and what's happened here in the city and the state, we should all be very proud. But when you look at the longer term, you know, it's not just innovation. You know, we look at EY, you know, youth employment and education. So, you know, I would look at some of the things United Way is doing, some of the things that Dan Gilbert and his organizations, you look at that, what they're doing is encouraging companies such as EY to go out, provide mentoring to these individuals, but also bring them in, right? Bring them in, provide them real world experience. I challenge, you know, I think that that's extremely important for the companies in Detroit to continue to do that. And I also would say, Paul W., you know, when you look at education in total, it is something that's near and dear to us. We do provide that skills-based volunteering, and for us, I think it's more on the mentoring. We provide mentoring skills. One of them that I would talk about is at Cody High School. We've partnered with College for Every Student as well as the United Way. We mentor juniors and seniors, and we mentor them to get them into college, not just filling out their FAFSA forms or their introduction. You know, we take them not only through their junior and senior year, get them into colleges, but then we're actually a persistence, the P in our program. we follow them through. And I think then we follow them through with providing them with opportunities. We use our connections in the community to provide them real-world jobs. It's something that we're extremely proud of. I tell you, in Detroit, we send over 50 of our employees out to Cody High School every single month to provide these mentoring services. And I'd encourage more of the organizations to continue to do that.
George, that's an excellent explanation, and even more so an excellent example of how it can be done. And I can sense in you a pride and the feeling that you only get when you do give like that. And you said it at the beginning of our conversation. It's not just the money. The money's extremely important. But you have these people who are out on the street really helping people. And therefore, they're getting the payback that all of us get when we finally say to ourselves, this year I'm really going to do something to help somebody. I'm not just going to send money. I'm going to send me. I'm going to be in that Salvation Army bed and bread truck. I'm going to be there at the soup kitchen. I'm going to do these things. And you already know, because you've done it, the payback that's there, not just for society, but for ourselves.
Agreed. You know, I would tell you, we're in a very competitive field in the public accounting forum, and retention of our employees is extremely important. And when you look at the different generations and what they expect out of an employer, they don't expect just a payroll anymore. They expect more than that. They want experiences, and they want experiences that are more than what they would get in normally in their tax or their assurance or their everyday life. When you take them out there and they can give back and they can also hone their skills, I think it's something that we have proven has been instrumental to our retention rates in the Detroit office.
I think it's why you're so successful.
I appreciate that.
From a business standpoint, from a social standpoint. And that's why your employees are so happy being there.
Thank you.
I mean, I from my little involvement that I have with you, whether it's the Ernst & Young EY Entrepreneur of the Year Awards or some other ways, it is something that is palpable. You know it's there. It's what sets EY apart from other companies.
I certainly appreciate that. And I know you mentioned EY. I will give a little bit of information on that if you don't mind. You know, our program for this year has just started. The deadline for our nomination forms is March 6th, so I would encourage anyone out there that knows any companies that has a founder, a CEO, a leader, somebody that I would tell you is really making a difference in their business, you know, please nominate them. You know, we are looking for people that have a skin in the game, that have made a difference in their company. You know, it's great, not just for the media that you'd get, Paul W., but I think it's great for them, and I think it's great for the morale of their employees as well, to see what that leader has done.
We've seen it time and time again. Go to EY.com. I'm proud to be a part of it. Certainly the entire radio station is proud to be a part of it. George Lenyo, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it, and for giving us the platform for EY Insights. So thank you very much as EY's Detroit office managing partner. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul W.
Thanks to all of our guests. Forrest McConnell, the NADA chairman, for being with us too. Cheryl Connolly, futurist for Ford Motor Company. And of course, kicking off the program, Reagan Grant, EY's global automotive and transportation marketing leader, and Randy Miller, EY's global automotive and transportation leader. Thank you for joining us on this first edition of EY Insights. I'll be talking to you in the morning, Monday through Friday, from 5:30 till 9. Regards, Paul W. Smith.